Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Yud Bet Amud Aleph. The Gemara has a question that is posing regarding the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that in a case where a woman says within the 30-day window after Yibum, lo nivalti, that I didn't have biyah, we say there, kofin oto sheach lotzla, we force him to perform chalitza with her. Gemara asks a very simple question, atche kofin oto lech lotz, nikafen ole yaveh. Why are we forcing him to do chalitza or pressing him to do chalitza? Let us press him to do Yibum. And as Tosafot points out, this Gemara's assumption is that the Mishnah here was written before the Mishnah Rishona, and it believes that we give precedence to Yibum over Chalitza. And therefore, we're not going to say this is like Abba Shaul who says we give precedence to Chalitza over Yibum, and that's why the Mishnah says this. But rather, the question is, because we would give precedence to Yibum, why isn't this Mishnah giving precedence to Yibum? Samarav, Bishikita, Yotza, Mitachet Yada. It's a case where she has a get in hand. So the get in hand is a dismissal of sorts of the zika. She has a get here. That get would be good enough to remove the zika, but is not good enough to release her because she would need chalitza in that case. So here she has a get, which already tells us that Yibum is no longer a plausible outcome or possibility because he gave her a get, which is mevatel the zika, and is posel this woman to him. So therefore, if she comes in with the claim that no nivalti, and she has the get, then we're going to force him in the direction of chalitza, not yibum. Meitave, is that really true? Yivama shamra b'toch shloshim yom lo nivalti. Yivama comes and says within the first 30 days that Yavam had never had biyah with me. Ben shu omer ba'alti, ben shu omer lo ba'alti. In his response, no matter what he says, whether he says I did or I did not, kofin oto sheach lotzta, we force him to do chalitza with her because over here, she's within the 30-day window, and therefore her claim makes a lot of sense. And since her claim makes some sense here, we're going to help her out and have him release her. L'achar shloshim yom, after 30 days, mivakshim emenu sheach lotzla. Then we ask him nicely to do chalitza with her, because after 30 days, we assume that it is likely that they had bi'ah. And since it's likely that they had bi'ah, she really needs a get and not chalitza. So then we say to him, please do chalitza for her sake, because she just made herself into a chaticha asura. She was just osera herself by saying there was no biyah, that she still requires chalitza. And she will not be released without chalitza because of her statement. Therefore we say to him, even though you think you only need to get over here, nevertheless, can you do this girl a favor and also do chalitza? He omeret nivalti, v'omer lo ba'alti. Rashi says that this is a case also after 30 days. And Tosafot seems to support that assumption in his first explanation over here, which is that she says, I did have bi'ah with him after the 30-day period, and he says, I didn't have bi'ah with her. Then get is sufficient over here, because we have two things. First of all, the woman saying that there was bi'ah, and number two, it's after 30 days, so our assumption is that nobody hangs around for 30 days without having bi'ah. On the other hand, when he says, I did bi'ah, he omeret lo nivalti, but she says there was no bi'ah, even afterwards, when he goes back and rescinds his position and says that, you know what, we really did not have biyah, tzarich get v'chalitza. In that case, you need both get and chalitza. You need a get to take care of the fact that he said that they had biyah in the first place. And you need chalitza because she said that there was no biyah over here. And the only way to get it released is through chalitza, because otherwise she's a chaticha asura. So over here, you see the necessity for a get. Lo ba'alti, tzarich get v'chalitza. Because this says over here that she needs a get and a chalitza. Why does she need a get? She already has a get in hand. Why would she require another get? All she should require here is chalitza. So I'm Rabbi Ami, tzricha chalitza im gita. Rabbi Ami explains that no, the meaning here is not that she needs an additional get, but rather, including the get that she already has in hand, she also requires an additional chalitza. Rav Ashi amar hotam get lezikato, haka get lebiato. The get that she has in hand is different than the get that we're requiring over here. The original get was to terminate the zika. He gave her a get, which ruined the zika, and now he had to do chalitza with her. Over here, when he's giving the get, is because he had bi'ah with her, and bi'ah with her consummated the yibum. The consummation of the bi'ah requires a get to release them because of the husband and wife situation. So over here, there is bi'ah achar get. Even if he gave the get first and then had bi'ah with her, which was improper, it still consummated midoraita, and therefore you require a separate get to release her from the bi'ah. And that's why we require a second get over here. In Ochanami, that the first case is a case where she's holding a get, and it's similar to what we suggested in our Mishnah, and that's why in all these cases we are forcing him to do chalitza, not yibum. Nevertheless, we require a second get because he said he'd had bi'ah with her after that fact. two individuals agree that there was no bi'ah over here. Rashi says this again is the achar shloshim yom, after 30 days. Da'atu dekame de Rava, they came before Rava. Amar lehu Rava, chalutzula, v'sharul al tigra. Said, give her a du chalitza with her and release her, because it's clear that you're not performing yibum over here. Let's go ahead and solve this problem and have chalitza done. Amale resheri vayo, the Rava, v'atanyo, tzricha get v'chalitza. Don't we have the Baraita that says, in these circumstances, you require both get and chalitza. So again, Rashi says over here, if it's going to be similar to the Braita, then it also means that he started out the situation by saying Ba'alti, that I did have Bia, and that's why we're comparing it to the previous Braita. So number one is, it's after 30 days. Number two is, he first said Ba'alti, and then afterwards, Shnehem Modim, afterwards they both come and say that Lo Ba'alti. So in that case, we saw in the Braita that you need get and Chalitza. So Rava, why are you just releasing her with Chalitza? So Malay, so he says back to Rav Shiraya, Itanyo, Tanyo. If we have a bright that says that, we have a bright then, we'll require a get as well. Bamine hon, braid Rav Nachman mi Rav Nachman. So hon, Rav Nachman's son asked of Rav Nachman, Sarata Mahu. In all these situations where we're requiring a chalitza, what's the din with regards to her co-wife? We released her co-wife on the assumption that she was having yibum with this individual. Now all of a sudden we're in a situation where we're not so clear that yibum was actually performed. What is the din with regards to her co-wife? So Amar Leh, he said back to him, just because we are pressing him to do chalitza, or asking him to do chalitza, te'aser tzara, that should have any impact on her co-wife, meaning that the co-wife was released, and she is gone. Whatever's happening between her and this Yavam are personal issues between them, and we're not going to, because of those personal issues, force the tzara to be bound by whatever's happening between them. And the reason we're requiring chalitza in all these cases is because the woman is making herself into a chaticha surah. By saying that she no nivalti, she is making herself into a position she requires chalitza. But we still have on the other side of that a chazaka that a koneset isha bol alter. And that chazaka will trump as far as the co-wife is concerned. And because of that, she is released. The requirement of the chalitza over here is because of what the woman said about herself. But that should not affect any of the other parties here. We're talking about two different issues. One is the tzara. As far as the tzara is concerned, the chazaka stands. What goes on between the two of them, the yavam and the yavama, that's between them. And what they say will have impact on themselves, but will not have any impact on anyone else. Now, the simplest way to read this, and the way that we would expect is, mipneshanu kofin. Kofin is in a case where this whole incident took place within the 30 days. Umivakshim is a case where it takes place after 30 days. Te'aser tzara. In that case, we're going to be oser, the co-wife, because of what's transpiring between them. Tosavot, based on the previous explanations that we had here in the different cases that they were talking about, lachar shloshim yom, or they were talking about a case where he said ba'alti first, and then he changed his mind by the case of Rava. Based on that, Tosavot builds a picture which suggests that within 30 days, even if the woman says niv'alti, and the husband says lo niv'alti, we're going to force a chalitza in that case. If that is the situation, then if you have a case within 30 days and she says nivalti and he says lo nivalti and we're going to force chalitza, how can you let the tzara go free if we're going to require a chalitza? The requirement of chalitza over here is because we really believe that nothing took place. If we believe that, then how can you release the tzara to the public at large? For that reason, Tosafot says maybe it's only true after 30 days. After 30 days, the tzara is free because of the underlying chazaka that we assume that bia took place. And therefore, anything that transpires between these two parties will not affect the tzara. But within 30 days, she will be affected. That means that a tzara will have to wait 30 days before she can marry a third party, because her release only takes place once we've had that chazakah that there should have been a consummated yibum. Tosafot explains it that way. And then he goes back and tries to explain it even in the sheet of Rashi, and as he quotes here, the Rabbeinu Hananel, and concludes that both possibilities of the Lishonot that he suggests in the Gemara are plausible. And therefore he says that the Ri was Choshesh for both ways of reading this Gemara, lehalacha lemaseh, whether within 30 days the Tzara is freed, or whether within 30 days the Tzara is still locked up, because even if the woman says Nivalti, it doesn't matter. The Tosfah goes through the different permutations depending on how you explain the interim cases. We explained the cases according to Rashi, which is the way that Tosfah at first explains the Gemara, but then runs into this problem with the Lashon that we found here in this last line. And therefore he offers an alternative explanation in order to help it fit more easily, but then you have some other difficulties in the reading of the previous Gemaras as to why it was never identified by the Gemara that we were talking b'toch shloshim yom. So now the Gemara says, based on the Mishnah, noderet hana'a, a woman who takes a neder hana'a from her husband, and then she falls to the yavam. In that case, we force the yavam to do chalitza. On the other hand, if she did it after the death of her husband, then we say that she put herself in this predicament, and therefore we ask nicely that he does chalitza, but we do not force him. There are three women who are entitled to a ketubah after they make this claim, and they can go free. I mean, we force the husband to divorce her, and she collects her ketubah. If she says, it's an eshet kohen, says to her husband, that I am no longer able to be with you because nenasti, I was raped somehow, and that rape causes me to be asura to you, the kohen. I didn't do anything wrong. There's no reason that I should lose my ketubah over here. They say, okay, she's making a claim like this. She's now asura to her husband. They have to get divorced, but she will collect her ketubah because she did nothing wrong. The sky is between me and you. Now here, Rashi claims that a shemayim b'niu b'necha is galuv yadu lefanav, she'incha nizkak li kederach b'nei adam. You do not have relations with me like anybody else does. Not clear from Rashi what that means, but obviously it's problematic, either because he's not really acting appropriately with her, or because she's not going to produce children in this manner. On the other hand, Tosafot quotes the Gemara in the Darim that says, Hashemayim b'niu b'necha is a claim that he is not yoreke chetz, that he does not have his semen ejaculated in a manner which will impregnate the woman, and therefore she's afraid now that she's not going to have children because of this. Now, Hashemayim b'niu b'necha, as Rashi notes over here, is something that nobody else knows. It's a personal issue between him and her, and she's the only one who can give us this information. So when she comes with this claim, we believe her in some ways because she's the only one who can make the claim. On the other hand, we'll see in a second, we do have some suspicions about this because there's no way to verify her claim. Netula ani min ha'yudim, or she takes a neder that I will not have bi'ah, I will not have hana with any Jewish man. Of course, if that's the case, then she just was osir her husband on herself for the bi'ah, and therefore she now cannot be together with her husband. And we're going to say, okay, get divorced because this is an untenable situation, but she's entitled to her ketubah. Because the only reason she would take such a nether is because the bi'ah is difficult for her, and it's painful for her, and therefore she's taking the nether in order to protect herself, and she's really a nusa in this situation. That was our original thesis. Chazru lomar, afterwards they started to realize that women were using this as an out. Shalotei isha notenet enea be'acher umilkalkelet al ba'ala. Because what was happening was that the women were becoming interested in other men, and they needed to get out of their marriage. So they used these claims to get out of their marriage with their ketubah intact, and that way they could then go off and marry whoever they so desired. So because of that, they changed the outcome of these claims. If she says that I was raped, she has to bring proof to the fact that she was raped in order for her now to be released from her husband. In one sense, she is now a chaticha surah, so she can't be together with her husband, but she also will not be entitled to her ketubah until she brings proof. Hashemayim b'niu v'necha yasu derech bakasha. When this situation, when you have this problem with a personal, intimate relationship between the husband and wife, there we say we do a derech bakasha. We make a plea that it works out. Rabbeinu Tam says, what's the bakasha over here? Mit palulim. They daven that the Shem should give them rachamim, that they should have rachamim and have children. And so, again, depending on what you think the problem is, if you think like Rashi, that the problem here is that he's not acting appropriately with her, then tefillah wouldn't be such a big deal. But if you say that she is concerned that the way that he has bi'ah with her will not produce children, then maybe tefillah will help. Whereas according to Tosavot's explanation that it is the problem of yorek echeitz, then bakashat tefillah is something that he should be healed and that they should be able to have or bear children. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Hanano and the Yushalmi claim that this is that he should have a su'udah and he should appease her. Not necessarily a su'udah, but eventually they should try to bring peace between the husband and wife. Which is that we're telling them we're not going to force anybody in this situation because we have no way to verify the information that is here. Now, we can't say to the woman, come and bring a proof, because she has no way to bring a proof in this situation. And in addition to that, she wants to have children, so there's no reason for her to really lie in these situations, except maybe if she has her eye on someone else. And therefore, we try to create, without force, some sort of reconciliation of their relationship so that we can figure out, first of all, if the ta'ana is really a real ta'ana. And number two is whether we can bring them back together and maybe, according to Rabbeinu Tam, daven and have this work out. Netula ani min ha'yudim. She says that I will not have bi'ah with any Jewish man. Yafer chelko. Umisham shasto. He will be mefer his section, meaning the part that affects him. And therefore she can be mishameshim because this is either something that's beino de beina, something that's a personal thing between them, and therefore he's allowed to nullify it. Or because it's devarim shel inui nefesh. And since it's devarim shel inui nefesh, he's also entitled to be made fair. one of those two reasons that has nafka minot in terms of how much of the nether is mevutal over here, and that's a discussion amongst the Rishonim. But we say, go ahead and eliminate or be mefer that part of the nether, and therefore you can be together with her. But the rest of the nether will be in place. Either according to some Rishonim, she'll be asur bibiyah and anyone else, or according to the other Rishonim, the other Isurei Hana that she took upon herself will still be intact for everybody else. The only thing that was taken out of the picture is the issue of biyah over here. Now, the reason that she would take such a nether is because she doesn't want her husband to suspect her of going to another man. She wants a divorce, but she doesn't want him to suspect her. So she takes this nether saying, I'm not going to have this hanat biyah from anyone, not a single Jew. Now you can divorce me knowing that I'm not going to someone else. What we're afraid of is she's going to use that to get her divorced and then go to somewhere else where we don't know her. They don't know about the nether. And she'll go ahead and get married, meaning that she can circumvent the problem by leaving the area. So because of that, we say, let him be made for this section of the nether. And they go ahead, and then that will allow them to continue to be together and to live as husband and wife. Now the Gemara says, Ibayeluhu, netulay ani min yudim liyavam mahu. What is the din of this neder, the gabe liyavam? Today Rashi looks at the question. Rashi says, the question is, did this neder chal al liyavam? Does it affect the yavam? Because when she says, netulay ani min yudim, means that I am now restricted in having biyah with anybody that I could have been mutar with if you divorced me. Well, if he divorces her, she is not muteret with achiv, with his brother. The neder in her mind never covered his brother, because his brother was never mutar to her if she got divorced. So is this a case where we say only people that would be mutar to her after divorce, that's who she had in mind, and therefore the yavam is excluded from this neder, and if she falls to yibum over here, she can perform yibum with mutar? Or do we say that the neder was for any plausible person that she could marry, that would be problematic? And so here the yavam is somebody who is within that plausibility, even though maybe she wasn't really thinking about her husband dying, but that is a possibility, and therefore the nether covers that. Do we say, Mimaska data de might balo? Does she take in consideration that her husband might pass away? Naflak hame yavam. And then she would be muteret to the yavam, and therefore her nether does cover that. Although, or maybe that's not the person that she would consider. She's only considering people that if she got divorced, she would be muteret to, and that's what the nether covers. And that would make it that the yavam is not covered by the nether. That's the way Rashi phrases the question. Tosafot, for a number of reasons, takes issue with Rashi's explanation and says the Gemara's question here is not about whether the Yavam is mutar to the Yavama, because when she says Ayudim, it doesn't mean those that are mutar to me, those are asur. Ayudim means any Jew. So any Jew, mutar or asur, she took a neder ana, it's across the board. And therefore over here, there's no way that the Yavam is mutar in this case to her. So what's the question according to Tosafot? Do we force him to do chalitza or not? Do we say that when she took this neder, she was taking it for her husband's sake, to say, look, I don't want to be with you, I don't want to be with anybody else. And her focus was solely on her husband, and therefore, when she falls to the Yavam, it's not her fault that she has this nether, because she never intended to block the Yavam, and therefore we force him to do Chalitza, because it wasn't her fault. Or do we say that when she takes this nether, and it includes her husband and everyone else, she has in mind also that it affects the Yavam. And she knows that it'll affect the Yavam, and she intends for that as well, that she wants to block out this entire family. In that case, she is at fault for blocking it, and then we're not going to force him to do chalitza. We're going to ask him nicely to do chalitza. So that's the way Tosafot sees the question, as a question of whether we force chalitza or not. Rashi sees the question as whether the yavam is mutar to the yavama. Rav amar yavam enu kival. Rav says that the yavam is not like the husband. I mean that when she takes this nether, she did not think about the yavam at all. But Shmuel amar yavam arehu kival. On the other hand, Shmuel says the yavam has the same din as the baal, and her nether included the Yavam. According to Rashi, that means that the Yavam would be Asura to her. On the other hand, according to Tosafot, it means that she had in mind to take the nether about the Yavam, and that means we're not going to force him to do Chalitza. If he so chooses, we will encourage him to do Chalitza, but we're not going to force him because she had in mind to be Osir the Yavam here. So I'm Rabbi Kavate de Rav Mistavro. Rav's Shita makes a lot of sense. That's not, because you have a Mishnah, Noderet Hanami Yavama B'chaye Bala, woman who takes a nether anah from her Yavama while her husband is still alive. Then, if her husband passes away, we force the Yavam to do Chalitza with her. If you really think that the woman has in mind for Yavam while she's still married to her husband, then why do we force him to do Chalitza? We could ask him to do Chalitza, but she had in mind for Yavam. She did. She's the one who put herself in this predicament. It's a case where she has children. Now, not her having children doesn't matter. I mean, she has children from this husband. And therefore, she wasn't thinking that there was ever going to be a case of Yibum. So in that case, that's where we say that we force him to do Chalitza. Clearly, she did not have the Yavam in mind because she didn't think she would fall to Yibum. She's not going to think that all her children would pass away, and then her husband would pass away, and she would be available for Yibum. But if she didn't have children through this husband, what would be the din? Mivakshim. Then we would have asked him, we would have forced him. Umar says, if that's the case, Adatanim nit kavna lekach. If she intentionally took the neder about her Yavam, afilu b'chaye bala, even while her husband was still alive, mivakshim imenu sheach lotzla. Then we would only ask him to do chalitza. We don't force him to do chalitza. Well, liflog v'litnei b'dida. You have a finer distinction that you could have put in the Mishnah instead of the case where she didn't intend for her Yavam or where she did intend for her Yavam. Say it like this. When is it true that where the nether affecting the Yavam was not her intention? That's b'yesh labanim. Avayin labanim. But if she didn't have children, then we assume it did affect the Yavam and mevakshim. And then we would only ask him to do chalitza, not force him. The fact that the Mishnah did not make that distinction, therefore our Mishnah's talking about a case, whether she has children from him, doesn't have children from him, it doesn't make a difference. It's all about her intent. Kofinoto, we force him, kirav, and that's like rav shmamina, because the underlying assumption is that when she is married to her husband, unless she explicitly intends for her yavam, that she doesn't have her yavam in mind. And therefore, when she took the neder, she wasn't specifically trying to block out the yavam and put herself in that predicament. So when she falls to Yibum, and in a sense, we help her out, and we tell him, you got to do this chalitza, because she's an anus in this situation. On the other hand, if Shnit Kavna, if she intended for the Yavam, there we're not going to force him to do it, because she caused the problem. And by her causing the problem, then we say, please do it, it's a nice thing, you should help her out, but we're not going to force him to do it, because she caused the problem. And with that, we finish the 13th Perek, Hadran Alach, Beit Shammai. Now we move into the next Perek. Most of the cases in the Mishnah are very familiar to us because we saw them in the previous parak. The Gemara was quoting them one by one to try to prove some points. The major theme of the Mishnah, there are numbers and numbers of cases in the Mishnah, but there are only a couple of things that are important in terms of halachot that come out of the Mishnah. Number one is that if you have a cheresh or a chereshet involved in a marriage, that marriage is only midorabanan, it's not midoraita. Number two is that a cheresh ve'cheresht, either one is a party to a marriage, there is no din of chalitza, they can only perform yibum, and not chalitza. The last thing that we learn about, which is the most complex case here, is in a situation where a marriage d'oraita causes a yibum situation with an individual who's married midrabanan to an erva. And so because of that, you run into a problem. What do we do when those two competing issues come together? Zika midoraita and the marriage midrabanan. Those three issues are what are taken up by the Mishnah. There are a multitude of cases, all of which are focusing on those three dinim. Cheresh shenasa pikechet, a cheresh that married a woman who was completely normal, upikeach shenasa chereshet, or the other way around, a man who's normal married a chereshet, imratza lotzi yotzi. If he wants to give her a get and divorce her, he can do so. Imratza lekayim yikayim, and if he wants to keep her, he can go ahead and stay married to her, because kashem shu koneis birimiza, kach motzi birimiza. The same way that he facilitated the marriage in the first place, which was through some sort of indication, we're talking about a deaf-mute person here, they did it through signing or some sort of language that indicated that she was willing to get married. So the same way that he generated that or facilitated that marriage, he can facilitate the divorce. So whatever level of marriage was created through that can be dissolved through a get that does it the same way that he did the marriage. Pikeach shenasa pikechet v'nitcharsha. On the other hand, there are two normal people in a marriage, and then in the marriage, after the marriage was already consummated, nitcharsha, she became deaf-mute. Imratza yotzi, if he wants to release her, he can. Imratza yikayim, and if he wants to keep her, he can keep her. Because in this instance, they are married d'oraita, because they were pikach and pikachet. On the other hand, once she already becomes a chereshet, the get that he's going to give her still works, because you're able to give the get bal korcha. We don't need her dat, and we don't need her acquiescence in terms of the get. We just need to know that she's capable of taking care of herself. And that we'll see in the Gemara in tomorrow's daf, that is the requirement, but here by a chereshet, that is the assumption, and therefore we allow him to divorce her, or we allow him to stay married to her in this new state. Nishtatit, on the other hand, if she loses her mind, she's not nitcharsha, but loses her mind, she becomes a shota, lo yotzi. In that case, he's not allowed to divorce her, and that goes back to what we just said before. There, she's not going to be able to take care of herself, and therefore we don't allow him to put her out on the street or divorce her because of the possible detrimental outcome of a situation where she is released from this marriage. And the Gemara will discuss that again in tomorrow's daf. Nitchareshu o nishtata. If, on the other hand, the problem here is not with the woman, but with the man. He became a cheresh, or he became a shoteh. Enu motziah lo mit. Then you're stuck where he can't divorce her, because here, We need him to grant the divorce, and he needs Dat to grant the divorce. They're married midoraita. They were both normal when they got married, so they're married midoraita. Now you want him to grant the get. He can't grant the get because he doesn't have the de'ah to give the get, and his Dat is fundamental to the ability to give a get over here. And that's why she is now stuck in this marriage permanently. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, mipnei ma isha shenitcharsha yotza, v'ish shenitcharesh eino motzi. What is the difference between a male and a female? Why is it when the woman becomes a charesha, we still allow the divorce to go through? Yet when the man becomes a charesh, we do not allow it to go through. So Amar lo, eino dome ha'ish amigaresh, isha amigareshet. It's not the same thing. A man who gives a divorce and a woman who gets a divorce are in totally different situations. The man is the grantor of the divorce. He must do it mida'ato. That's the requirement of get or gitin and gerushin. On the other hand, the woman who is divorced does not require dat, does not require acquiescence, and therefore the get can be granted to her even though she doesn't have the dat or the willingness to be divorced. She'aisha yotza l'rutzona or shelo l'rutzona, because a woman can be dismissed, divorced, willingly or unwillingly. But a man can only divorce of his own volition, and that volition has to come from dat. Heyid Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudguda. This is a continuation of the statement of the Chachamim to show Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that there is such a distinction. He had a testimony that a chereshet she'hitziya avia, chereshet that was married off by her father. Her father can marry her off de'oraita because he has control over a ketana and over a chereshet to the point that he can marry off de'oraita. She yotza beget. You're allowed to divorce her with a get. Wait a minute, you have marriage midoraita. How can he divorce her when she can't, quote-unquote, accept the get midoraita because she doesn't have dat? The answer is because we don't need her dat. We don't need her acquiescence here, and therefore you can divorce her, quote-unquote, against her will or without her dat. So Amar lo, avzuki yotziba. Just like that case that Rabbi Yochanan ben Groda spoke about, so too is the case that you're asking about over here. In the case where he married her, and then in the middle of the marriage she became a chereshet, that's the same situation. Marriage doraita, divorce, even after her status changes, because her status change does not disqualify him from giving her a get. Betachin charishin, nisuin the betachayot. You have two brothers who are charishin, married to two sisters, charishot. Ol d'shtei achayot pichot, or to two sisters who are normal. Ol d'shtei achayot, achat charishin v'achat pikechet. Or to two sisters, one who is a charishin, one is a pikechet. Oh, or another case, where you have betachayot. Two sisters that are charishot. Nisuin the shnei achin, married to two brothers. Pichin, the brothers are totally normal. Ol d'shnei achim, charishin, or to two brothers that are charishin. Oh, the shnei achim, echad cheresh v'echad pikeach. Or to two brothers, one who is a cheresh, one is a pikeach. Heiru, elu p'turim min achlitza u'min ayibum. In all these cases, there is no chalitza and there is no yibum. That is because all these marriages are on the same level. In all these marriages, there's at least one party that is either a chereshet or a cheresh. And since that's the case, all of these marriages are only midrabanan, they're all on the same level. And we know when it comes to yibum or chalitza, when you have a yevama that falls to an individual who's an erva, vis-a-vis his wife, or an erva because of kiruv basar, then automatically there's no chalitza and yibum. And that's what's happening here. He's married to the sister of this woman. So this yivama is going to be achot ishto. Achot ishto midrabanan. But the yibum or the zika here is also only midrabanan. So the achot ishto midrabanan and erva will therefore disqualify or dismiss the problem of yibum chalitza, which is also only midrabanan. And therefore, in all these cases, there is no chalitza, there is no yibum. We're going to function like it is on the doraita level. If this was a Torah marriage, and they were married to, two brothers married to two sisters, and one of the brothers passes away, that woman would not require chalitza yibum because that is achot ishto. And achot ishto is an erva that is dismissed without any chalitza yibum. So it's over here at the rabbinic level. All these marriages are derabanan. The yivama is created, or the yibum is created midrabanan. In that case, we're going to say the same thing. It's achot ishto midrabanan. And that will dismiss the yibum that would be required midrabanan. But on the other hand, imayu nachriot, if they were not related, the two women are not related, yichnosu, then you can perform yibum with them, but you cannot perform chalitza with them because either one of these cases, in all these cases, one party is either a cheresh or a chereshet. We said previously in the Mishnah that a cheresh and a chereshet are not parties to chalitza. They're not allowed to or cannot do chalitza either because they're lav bnei de'ah or because they can't do Amar v'amira, that they can't, the amira, they can't do whatever is required of them. After they've already married them, then they can divorce them in order to release them. So because the same way that they are marrying them and consummating midrabanan, they can then release them with a get midrabanan. But chalitza will not work over here because they are not parties to chalitza. So in the case where they're not related, the two wives of these two brothers, then in that case, if there's Yibum or Chalitza to be formed, we said before, no Chalitza in these situations, so only a choice is Yibum. If he doesn't want to stay married to her, he is Koneser and then divorces her, and that's fine. Shnei Achin. So now we have a case that are a little more complex, because here, not all the parties are Chereshin or Chereshot. You have two brothers, one's a Cheresh and one's a Pikeach, Nesuim l'shtei Achayot, married to two sisters, Pikchot, that are completely normal. Meit Cheresh bal Pikechet, if the Cheresh passes away, who's a husband to this normal woman, Mayaseh Pikeach bal Pikechet, the other brother who's married fully de'oraito to another woman, what does he have to do? Nothing. Teitzei Mishum Achotisha. This woman is dismissed Mishum Achotisha. The Yibom, or the Zika, the Yibom here is only Midrabanan, because the Cheresh was married to this Pikechet Midrabanan. You have another brother who's married Midoraita to her sister. In that case, it's Achotishto, and Midoraita, she is released. On the other hand, Meit Pikeach Bal Pikechet. On the other hand, if the Pikeach passes away, and now his wife is available to Yibum to the other brother who is a Cheresh, Mayase Cheresh Bal Pikechet. And what does the Cheresh do who's married to her sister, the Pikechet? Motzi Ishto Beget. He has to divorce his wife here because now he has a Zika Midoraita from his brother. His brother was married Doraita to this sister of his wife. And then when he died, that sister of his wife fell to him as a Zika Midoraita. But his marriage to his wife is only Midorabanan. So the Zika Doraita causes a problem with his marriage Midorabanan, and therefore he has to divorce his wife with a get, which he can do, because he married her Birimiza. He can divorce her Birimiza. Veshed Achiva Surah Leolam. But his brother's wife, he can't do anything with her. He can't do Chalitza with her because he's a Cheresh. He can't do Yibum with her because he was married to her sister. Yes, only Derabanan, but he was still married to his sister beforehand. He gave her a get. And now she is Achot Gerushato. He can't get married to this woman, and therefore she is left in limbo or in a problematic state permanently. Shnei Achim Pichin Nisuin L'Shtei Achayot. Here in the case, both brothers are completely normal, and they are married to two sisters, one of which Achat Chereshet V'Achat Pikechet. One of them is a Chereshet, one's a Pikechet. Meit Pikeach Bal Chereshet. If the brother who is married to the Chereshet passes away, now this Chereshet falls to Yibum. Mayaseh Pikeach Bal Pikechet. What is the one who has the marriage, the totally normal marriage, what does he do? Teitzei Mishum Achotisha, he has to do nothing. He's married Doraita to his wife. His brother was only married to this Chereshet, the sister of his wife, Midrabanan. So when his brother passed away, there's Yibum Midrabanan or Zika Midrabanan. That doesn't affect him. He has a Doraita married to this woman. She's a Achotishto and she is released. May Pikeach Bal Pikechet. On the other hand, if the Pikeach passes away, who's married to Pikechet, the normal marriage Doraita, and he passes away, Mayaseh Pikeach Bal Chereshet. What does the Pikeach, his brother, do with the woman now that's his Yivama's sister who he's married to? First of all, Motziyat Ishto Beget. He has to divorce his wife with a get. Because again, we're faced that same problem. He has now a Zika Doraita with his wife's sister because his brother was married to this woman, Midoraita. And when this woman falls to him, he has to deal with the Zika Doraita against his marriage to her sister, which is only the Rabbanan. That upends his marriage and he has to give her a get and divorce her. The same way that he married her, the Rabbanan, he divorces her, Midorabanan. But over here, he can do Chalitza because he's a Pikeach and she's a Pikechet, so he can do Chalitza to release her and then she's released. He can't perform Yibum for the same problem as we said in the previous case, which is he just divorced his wife. And it looks like Achot Gerushato, so we're not going to allow him to perform Yibum. Shnei Achim, Echad Cheresh V'Echad Pikeach. You have two brothers, one's a Cheresh, one's a Pikeach. Nisuin L'Shtei Achayot. They're married to two sisters, Echad Chereshet V'Echad Pikechet. One of them is a Cheresh, one's a Pikechet, and they're lined up. The Cheresh married the Chereshet, and the Pikeach married the Pikechet. Then, Meit Cheresh Bal Chereshet. Then the Cheresh passes away. Mayaseh Pikeach Bal Pikechet. What does the Pikeach and Pikechet who have a marriage Doraita do? Nothing. Teitzei Mishum Achotisha. This woman is dismissed. You have here Zika Midrabanan. He's married to her sister Midoraita. Achotishto goes, even Doraita would be released. Certainly, if it's only a Zika Midrabanan, she is released. Meit Pikeach Bal Pikechet. On the other hand, if the marriage Doraita is the one that now was terminated because he died, and now the woman falls to the Cheresh, Mayaseh Cheresh Bal Chereshet. What does the Cheresh who's married to the Chereshet do? Again, he now has a Zika Doraita because of his brother's marriage Doraita to the sister of his wife, but he's only married to this woman, the sister of the Yavama, Midrabanan. So Motziyat Ishto Beget, again, he's got to divorce his wife with a get, just like he married her Midrabanan, divorces her Midrabanan, because of this Zika Doraita. Ve'eshet Achiva Asura Le'olam. But his sister-in-law, who now fell to him as a Yivama, he can't do anything with her. He's a Cheresh, he can't perform Chalitza with her. So he can't perform Yibum with her because of his wife that he was married to and just divorced. So now she's stuck in this limbo state where he can't release her in any way. He can't perform Yibum and give her a get, and he can't perform Chalitza with her because he's a Cheresh. Shnei Achim, Echad Cheresh V'Echad Pikeach. Case you have two brothers, one's a Chereish, one's a Bikeach, Nesuim l'shtei Nachriot, married to two women, unrelated, Pichot, both of them are totally fine, normal women. Meit Chereish Bal Pikechet, if the Chereish passes away, who's married to Bikechet, Mayase Pikeach Bal Pikechet, the one who is married in a full marriage to Bikeach, Bikechet Midoraita, what can he do with his brother's wife? Here you have a Zika Midorabanan, a chance at Yevama Midorabanan. So Ochle, Tomi Yabem, you can make his choice. You can be do Chalitza with her, Midorabanan, form Yibam with her, Midorabanan, and then consummate into a real marriage because he's not married to anyone that's a relative of hers. On the other hand, Meit Pikeach Bal Pikechet, if the one who has the marriage Doraita passes away, Mayase Cheresh Bal Pikechet, what does the Chereish only has a marriage to Rabbanan do? Kones. Only choice he has is to Yibam and not Chalitza, because Chalitza doesn't work with the Chereish. Yibam will work. Ve'eno motzi le'olam. But once he's Koneser, he can't divorce her, he can't get rid of her, because the Yibam or the Yivama came into him midoraita. Because his brother was married to this woman deoraita, and now he's a Yivama. He marries her, he consummates the marriage, he's only able to consummate the marriage based on his brother's Kiddushin. His brother's Kiddushin was deoraita. Now he wants to give her a get. He can only grant a get midorabanan because he's a cheresh. The get midorabanan is not going to undo this marriage deoraita, and therefore she's permanently married to him. Shnei achim pichim nisuim lebet nachriot. In case we have two brothers are pichim, married to two women who are unrelated. One is a pikech and one is a chereshet. Meit pikeach bal chereshet. If the pikeach, the normal husband who was married to a chereshet, passes away, mayase pikeach bal pikechet. The brother was married in a normal marriage midoraita. What does he do in this case? Koneis. He's allowed to marry her. V'imratza lotzi yotzi. And then if afterwards he wants to divorce her, he can divorce her. Because the generation of the Yibom or the Zika here is only a derabanan, because his brother was only married to this woman, mi derabanan. So he has a choice now. He can perform Yibom with her. Chalitza is not an option because she's chereshet. And therefore Chalitza is not an option. On the other hand, Yibom is an option for him. So he can consummate mi derabanan. And then if he wants to divorce her, he can give her a get mi derabanan, like he consummated the Yibom mi derabanan. On the other hand, make pikeach bal pikechet. On the other hand, if the normal marriage is the one that the husband died, then mayase pikeach bal chereshet. What does the other brother do who's married to this chereshet, to this woman mi derabanan? Ocholei tzu miyabeim. Over here he has a choice. He can perform chalitza because he's a pikeach and she's a pikechet. He can perform Yibom because he's related to this woman, or there's a zika mi doraita, and he can perform Yibom with her and keep her. Doesn't affect his wife. His wife and this woman are not related at all. Shnei achim. If you have two brothers, echad chereish v'echad pikeach, one's a chereish, one's a pikeach, nisuin the bet nachriot, married to two women unrelated, echad chereish v'echad pikeachet, one's a chereish, one's a pikeachet, again, they line up. The chereish married the chereishet, and the pikeach married the pikeachet. Meit chereish bal chereishet, if the chereish passes away, who's the husband of the chereishet? Mayase pikeach bal pikeachet, what is the one who is married do right to do here? Koneis. He has only one choice over here. He can be koneser. V'imratza lotzi yotzi. And then afterwards, if he decides to divorce her, he can divorce her. Here you have a marriage to the rabbanan of his brother. So you have zika mi derabanan. She's a yavama to him mi derabanan. So he can perform yibum with her because she's unrelated to his wife. And yibum, the consummation of the marriage, works derabanan just like it worked for his brother. Now, if he wants to get rid of her or divorce her, he just gives her a get. The get derabanan will unwind the consummation mi derabanan. On the other hand, chalitza is not an option because she is a chereshet. And you can't perform chalitza with a chereshet, so that option doesn't exist for him, even though it's only at a rabbinic level. Meit pikeach bal pikeach, and on the other hand, if the one who has the marriage doraita passed away, mayase cheresh bal chereshet, what does the cheresh do? Koneis veni motzi lelam. He only has one option there. Chalitza is not an option because he's a cheresh. Yibum is an option because he's consummating a marriage that was started by his brother deoraita, and therefore he can consummate on that kiddushin deoraita. But then once he's done Yibum, he can't release her anymore because the Cheresh can only grant a get midorabanan. And since he's married to her Doraita because of his brother's Kiddushin, therefore he can't release her with a get derabanan. It does not suffice. And that's what it says, that he is married to her permanently. He must stay married to her once he performs Yibum over here because there's no way for him to release her midoraita. He can only release her midorabanan, but he's married to her deoraita. Okay, we're going to stop here with the beginning of the Gemara on Kuf Yud Bet Amud Bet.